And so you look for that same identity. You look for those that are separated like you, because they will not compel you. Someone like me, you get upset, because I will show you what's in you that's wrong. The word of Yahweh will show you what's wrong. You don't want to be in someone's presence like that. You want to be in someone's presence like you, that's wicked like you. Can I tell you this? I was talking to Brother Josh Horn there, and I received a letter. I was telling Brother Josh, I received a letter from CBS. And they wanted to know that because we are listed as on the communal directory, Brother Allen put us there, and I told him to take us off. They have this program on television. They sponsor wife swapping and this loss thing of this thing that they have where they put people on islands and they survival. And what they said to me, we want someone that have principles and disciplines. This is what the letter said. I wish I had brought it. If you refer someone to us from your community, we want someone that has lived a communal lifestyle. It must be a married couple. They must have 2 children, between 8 and 18. We will give you, first of all, 1,000. We will give them 1,000. And then if we choose them for 20 days work, we will give them 20,000. Then what we will do, we will take that man's wife and put it in the house with some other man's wife, bring that man's wife and bring that one here. 20 grand, that's a lot of money, isn't it? Now, there are people that will sell themselves for things that are less than that. I will not sell the integrity of Yahweh for $200 or $50, not for $2 million. The value of Yah is greater to me than that. And there will be some serpentine beast that will try to figure a way to get that done and to try to secure those pieces of betrayal silver. Now, this is the mindset of this generation. It is one that is very hard. It's one that is stubborn. It's one that has no fear for Yahweh. I look at a small crowd like this. I look at some of you young ones. I understand your dilemma because your parents are that way too. You wonder why their minds are torted. I was reading an article that young people, their minds, they don't, the frontal cortex, they don't even think properly. I will read you an article today, what parents are doing in this nation. What has separated your mind from what scripture tells you to do, that you love daddy or mama more than you love Yahweh. You love yourself more than you love Yahweh. That you will not obey what he commands you to do. Look at what David said. I want you to hear this, and I want you to turn to Devarim. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 5. But listen to what David said. He said, for lo, your enemy, O Yahweh, for lo, your enemies shall perish. All workers of iniquity shall be separated, parad. They shall be separated, scattered from Yahweh. When you are a worker of iniquity, you will be separated from Almighty Yahweh. You that work iniquity, you will always be separated from Yahweh. There's such a wickedness in the midst of Yahweh's house. And there's one thing about the trade of Israel, and I will deal with that hopefully next week. I know that I said I would finish the message on the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. I will. This is even part of that doctrine as well. It is your iniquity that has separated you from Yahweh. And those all workers of iniquity, you that work iniquity, you will always be separated from Yahweh. Can I ask you a question? Now ask yourself, when the last time you may have picked up the scripture this week because I said something. But before then, when was the last time? I got some of you that little young ones, you're hard-headed. When I tell you to pick up the book in here, you struggle with that. And it's wrong. It's wrong. There's a wickedness there. You're not going out to the world and you're not going to function in the world without being able to take command. And the world commands that they don't spare you at all. If you think it does, you are ignorantly wrong. It's a hard-headed generation. You parents, you've been hard-headed. You just better obey Yahweh. You do what's right. Now, I'm not particularly concerned whether anyone likes me. I'm not concerned about that. Shaul said, when I first began to speak, no man stood with me. No one stood by me. That's all right, but he said, it's one thing that I know, that Yahweh stayed by my side. As long as I know that, I'm all right. Can I tell you something? There's going to be someone that's going to stand by truth. If it's nothing but a few, it's going to be a few that's going to stand by truth. I'm not trying to aesthetically please you or your children. I'm not going to do that. I'm not trying to please your wife or your husband. Well, not to say something that is offensive. And you offend Yahweh every day. It is a fool that in their iniquity, they are separated from Yahweh daily. All the time they're separated from Yahweh. Their mind is separated. They think that the things of Yahweh, they're fictitious and false. But it is one thing, a reality. They will find out. There's something I want to read before I get to Debarim. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 5. You turn there. It says this. I want you to hear this. It says in wisdom, in the Apocrypha. I like what it says, so I'm going to read it. It says, for perverse thoughts, you never had any perverse thoughts against your brother, your sisters, against one another. For perverse thoughts separate men from Yahweh. Your hatred, your perverse attitude, it separate men from Yahweh. Your lies, your corruption. And His power is tested. It convicts the foolish. Because wisdom, look at this now. Now this is profound. Because wisdom will not enter a deceitful soul, nor dwell in a body enslaved to sin. For a kodash and disciplined ruah will flee from the deceit. Those that are deceitful, the spirit of Yahweh will not dwell there. The ruah of Yahweh will not dwell there. You that are deceitful, transgressing, full of lies, the ruah of Yahweh will not dwell there. We're in a generation of time where the whole pretense or the whole action of this generation is filthy. Everything it does, it doesn't produce any kind of life at all. Nothing. Nothing at all. Young girl, 11 years old. She had AIDS from birth. Her mother was a drug addict. 20 boys, 11. A 16-year-old girl told her what kinds of acts to perform. 21 boys in all. As old as 31 years old. Took liberties with an 11-year-old child. Who's 11 in here? Who's 11? How old are you, Victoria? 10. Do you all hear that? 21. 21. And the oldest one was 31 years old. And they took liberty with a 11-year-old child. 11. Not 21. That's the reality of this world. The sons and daughters today, I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, I will read you an article, the mindset, because it is full of iniquity. The parents are so twisted today. You have a profound proliferation of homosexuality. The young boys are faggots. The young girls, they have no natural desire for a husband. They're bulldaggish. They walk that way. They act that way. Their attitude is that way. It's nothing like a punk, because punks, homosexuals, they're always sassy. They're always. You meet a bulldagger thing, she's always brazen and bold. That's the vile nature of those spirits. That's just the truth. A homosexual, these perverts are always smartish with their mouths. I don't care what the situation is, they will always try to produce something smart or radical from it. And that's what they have today. The schools, homosexual fraternities, and gay clubs, and lesbian binges, that's what teaches it that way. They're anointing them with this delusion and this iniquity. That's what they're doing. That's why Yah tells you elderly women, instead of you raising hell and childlike, you teach them how to be a woman. I'll never forget Miss Mickles. She would teach the girls how to walk. how to carry themselves. You walk like this. I was in the sixth grade at Druid Hills. Your young daughters, you walk like this. She will put a book on her head. And she was a heavyset one, but she would teach the girls how to walk. Even in the secular sense, it's sad. When you're supposed to be women of Emunah, you're supposed to teach them the covenant relationship of Almighty Yah. You're supposed to do that. I said to Tiara, Brother Josh's wife, I said, don't you know, daughter, what you put in that little child's mind, you'll read to her. Don't you know that those seeds that you put there, it may be dormant, but it will produce something later in life. From birth, they put them before televisions to corrupt their minds and their spirits. Even as little child's like, children like that, you can put Luceria before television, and the power of that thing will draw her attention, even though she doesn't know what she's watching. That's what it will do. And so they have corrupted their minds from birth and sown the seed, brothers and sisters. And what you see now is this generation that is vile and corrupt because the seed is sown there. And what Yahweh tells us, the principles you began from before they even come out of the mother's womb, because Jeremiah, before he came out of his mother's womb, he was called, ordained, and sealed by Almighty Yah. And so even in that, the preparation began in their little forming and shaping of their thoughts and their minds, and will create the laughter and will create the security in there. This is a generation that doesn't do that. And if you say something to your elderly ones, you pout, you raise hell, you get upset, you don't want to do it, but you got time to talk, you got time to do frivolous things, you got time to do nothing, you got time to sleep. But when it comes to the things of Yahweh, what has separated you from the love of doing those things? What has separated you from that? Because you're not to love to want to do those things, to teach and to instruct, to teach the young women how to love their husband. Well, you can't do it because you don't know how to do it. Every mother that has a husband, she should teach the daughters how to love their husband, her actions, her deeds, how she interact with her husband. That teaches to show great reverence to her husband, to look upon him as the Baal, as the Lord of the house, and give him great honor for that. That the young daughter and the son may understand the very validity of the place of the husband and the wife. Not a diminished role for the wife, but it's a role of honor. And so we don't teach them that. And so we have a generation of young with their hearts of heart. They don't know how to love. They don't know how to love their mothers, their mammies. They don't know how to love their papas or their daddy. They don't know what love is. Because you don't know how to express it. When they're cold looking, because you're cold looking, mother. You're cold looking, daddy. You have no expression of the Ahava of Yah. So what they see, the old saying, that was a proverb, monkey see, monkey do. Or whatever they see others do, and they do that. And they're so dysfunctional, they don't know how to respond when someone shows them some kind of affection. They don't know how to do that. They don't know how to respond. And it's sad. What do I do? Well, you make the change now. That's what you do. You make the change now, not tomorrow, now. Wisdom will not enter into a deceitful soul, neither nor dwell in a body enslaved to sin. For a kodash and disciplined spirit, ruah, will flee from the deceit, and will rise and depart from foolish thought, and will be ashamed at the approach of unrighteousness. What they're saying, that if one truly has the ruah of Yah, and if there's a perverse thing or perverse thought in you, the Spirit of Yah will rise and depart from that. It will not. What fellowship has the Spirit of Yah with darkness? Yahweh says, I won't even interact with that. I won't fellowship with that spirit. And most of the times your mind is so full of darkness and uncleanliness, full of deceit and lies, and your lips utter what's in you. That's the truth. Can I tell you all something, brothers and sisters? The few brothers we have here, and the ones that interact, there's some brothers that don't know how to interact because they don't want to. You understand? But when brothers interact with each other, there is nothing more beautiful. Behold how tough and pleasant it is for men to dwell together. And the power of the Ruah of Yah. There's nothing more powerful than that. And when the brothers do fellowship and interact, there's nothing like it. There's no hell raising. There's no opposition. There's no fighting. There's no denouncing and bickering at all. This brother may speak the truth. This one. There are many times I will just listen to the brothers. And there are times that I will do 90% of the talking. Or 99. There are times I will hear what the brothers have to say. That's just it. Why? Because first of all, most of the times, unless we're busy doing something, they don't mind listening because they want to hear. And there are things that reveal unto them that blesses their love. It really strengthens them. And yet we can do what we're doing and still get a little preaching in there. And so the conversation basically is upon the things that separate us from the very Ahava of Yahweh. We deal with a matrix of circumstances and situations. And we deal with the complexity of this life and the things of this life. But it always brings us always to who He is. Everything is surrounded or circled around Almighty Yahweh. Whether it's correction, will you do that? I do it often. Ask the brothers. I do it before all those, and they may say, well, he could have spared them a little bit. No, if you spare the child, Scripture tells you don't spare them because of their crying. Don't you know you will save their soul from hell? So I don't spare a brother because he's crying. I won't spare you, sister, because you cry and you mutter and you complain. I won't spare you because of that. I don't spare a brother because of that. Because that is what delivers the brother's soul from out of the grips of darkness and immaturity and childishness. That is what brings him out of it. So I don't spare because of that. If anything, a mighty warrior, I will press even the harder. And I will take the sword and I will cut and cut and cut until there is a repentance and an acknowledging of the sin. And then that will bring a delight to the brother's heart. Have I done that before, brothers? Have I done that before, brothers? I'll stop everything for that. It doesn't produce a separation of the brothers. It produces unified people. That's what it produces. It produces that. It produces a cohesiveness. If you don't have that, then you're going to have what we have in Iraq. You're going to have what we call you're going to have an insurrection. You get two saying, well, I think you should do that. You get two of them saying you should do that. And then they all say, well, I think this. No. It can't be that way. It has to be about the rule of Yah. It has to be a rule of law in everything we do, brothers and sisters. It has to be. And so the Ruah of Yahweh is not going to dwell in a filthy, perverse mind. It's not going to instruct you. And so when there are things that you know are wrong in you, and you will not acknowledge them, the power of Yahweh is not going to dwell there. It's going to depart from you. When you have no conscience of your wrong and what things you're doing are wrong, somewhere there's a tautness there. You're twisted in your thinking. Yahweh, He will always present Himself by judging you. He always judges you. He judges us constantly. He always. We are shallow people. If I talk to you the way I talk to me, you can handle that. We get perturbed behind the corrections of Yah. Now, what I'm reading, is it out of the book? Well, you're speaking other things because the Ruah speaks that way. There are things that you need to know, and there are many things I'd like to speak to you, but we are yet carnal. We can't hear the things. Why? Because the first thing we present to Yahweh is our carnality. Because that's the first thing that is offended. And that's the first thing He comes after, too. Flesh. Why does He come after flesh? You know why He comes after our flesh? You know why He destroys it? You know why He tries to bring it down? Do you know why? Can I tell you, will you believe me? If I tell you the reason why, will you believe me? Because all flesh is enmity against the Torah. It despises the things of Yahweh. So He has to bring it down and reduce it. Your flesh despises Yahweh. Unless you have the spirit of Yah, you will not love Him. That's why you need the witness and the testimony of Yahshua HaMashiach. That's what you need. Who are you going to save, Pastor Roberts? I'm going to save me. Save yourself from this wicked, untoward generation. I'm going to save me. And I'm not going to allow the power of iniquity, a Torah-less life, to go away from the things of Yahweh to appease Sister Roberts or to make you happy. And it will not make you happy, no way. It is a temporary, it is a momentary type satisfaction. And the next hour, you're looking for something else. You're looking for another ecstasy. I'll never forget what Evangelist Hartsford said to me 25 years ago. He said to me, Brother Roberts, I want to tell you something. He said, the reason that people love sin and it has such a grip on people, because it has a pleasure. And sin has a pleasure to the flesh. But it never produced anything at all. It never produced any ability, any capability, any Yahweh, nothing at all. He said it has a pleasure, a sensual pleasure. And that's why the masses of the world, that Yahweh's given them over to that. He's only going to save Yisrael, and Yisrael is the seed. Before the foundation of the world, Yahweh knew them. He knew the end before the beginning start. And he wrote in them, he put his law before Jeremiah was ever formed. Before he was ever conceived, Yahweh had called him. Before a Patrick Horn was ever conceived, ever formed, ever thought of, Yahweh knew him. He knew his purpose. He knew what he had ordained for his life. He knew who was Yisrael. He knew who was Israel, and he said to reassure and to make sure and to give you assurance and to renew this power of hope, I have written my Torah in the lap of Israel. And so as the generations came along, he knew Israel. He wrote his Torah, was there in Israel when birth came alive in that one. So he knows Israel. Everyone is not Israel. And for the moment, he will let the wheat and the tare tarry together. And he's going to come, he's going to send the heavenly messengers, and they're going to remove the tear. And he's doing that. Yahweh's doing that. He's going to remove them. The preaching of the word is going to drive them. It's going to remove you. Period. It's going to remove you. He is the one that separates. I'm not going to finish this today, but I'm going to carry this on Wednesday. Listen to this in Devarim. It says, this is what Yahweh says in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 5. He says, look, I want you to understand. I have taught you statutes. This is what Moshe says. I've taught you statutes. And I've taught you the mishpatim, the judgment, even as Yahweh my Abba commanded me, that you should do so in the land, whether you go to possess it. Keep therefore, he says in verse 6, keep, preserve, and do them. Why? For this is your wisdom, and this is your understanding. Do you all hear me? In the sight of nations, which shall hear all these statutes, and say, surely this is, or this great nation is a wise and understanding people. Now I read to us out of the Apocrypha that wisdom will not abide in a perverse man in a corrupt dwelling. It will not abide there. Shaul says wisdom is the principal thing. Now when you get wisdom, you must have, and all you get, and all you're getting, get understanding. Moshe says that the nations of the world will know that this is a wise people. Not only are they wise, but they understand what is the will and the purpose of Almighty Yahweh. Do we understand that? When we are separated from Him, we don't understand that. Their reports, I read, I look at things, I hear things. And the men and women that are coming back from Iraq, the power of that spirit, the women, their spouse, their husband, it is almost like he is not even a part of the family. The marriages are breaking up by the thousands, separation and divorces. I listened to an interview of a woman. She says, well, while he was in Iraq, I established my own career. I take care of all the bills. I do everything. And it's like, really, he's not, you know, well, he's really not a part of this. You tell me your husband man, this is the attitude today. Your husband man has gone off to war by corrupt government. And I must say that they are allowing just bits and pieces of information to trickulate out. There was never a weapon of mass destruction in Iraq. Neither was there any kind of cahoot or any type of allegiance between Saddam and bin Laden. They said he allowed Zawahiri to stay there. But Zawahiri was not the head man, neither was Zaitawi. And so they used that as a pretext to destroy. That's the mindset of this nation. That because the power and the deity that rules this nation is Shaitan. He is the god of this nation. Shaitan, because this is the most lascivious, the most greediest, the fattest, and we're not the richest. When we borrow money, we are so in debt. How can we be the richest nation in the world and we are the most indebted nation in the world? It cannot be. We're not a rich nation. We are poor. We're superficial. We're a nation of pretense and false external appearance. And yet inside, we are a nation that is famished. We have no strength at all. We're famished. We have robbed. We have stolen. We have nothing. Period. Nothing at all. So these wives are saying that my husband, man, he really doesn't understand. I've had to take care of the children. It's amazing because I read that article and I was telling the brothers on yesterday as we were dialoguing. And there was a woman in Sudan. The Janjaweeds, they came into the village. The Janjaweed is simply devils on horseback. They came riding camels, Toyota pickup trucks, horses and helicopters. And what they do in Sudan, they go in Darfur, they go there and they kill every man. They don't kill the little girls. Little girls like that they have. They kill every man. They kill every man. They kill every man. Every man child, they kill them. Every baby boy, they kill the men. That's all they do. They kill the men. They don't kill the women. They take pleasures with the women. They rape them. Brothers and sisters, I want to tell you something. If you think this is not coming to this devilish, hellish, whorish nation, the sons and daughters are full of whoredom, full of wickedness. You give them over to perversion. Why? Because you will not hold fast to the Torah of Almighty Yah. It's coming to this damnable nation. It has sown it. It is going to reap it. Whether you believe it or not. They kill every man now. And so there was one man. He was so small that even the ring on his finger just fell off his head. They just don't eat. They don't have food like you. And so when the Janjaweeds came in, he ran and it was a pile of rotten grass and he crawled in it. And so the Janjaweed went through that village and all they killing every man, butchering them, macheting them, killing everyone, shooting him in the head. That's all they do. Any man, they go, boom, 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 boom. I don't care what the age is, they kill every man. They totally genocide a people. They kill every man. And so this little man stayed under this grass. I'm telling you this to show the difference between this corrupt community of this nation and even a poor, darkened people there. All day he stayed on there. So his wife, she walked the village for 3 days to make sure that the Janjaweed were gone. Because they came in the village that day. They killed every man they could. They killed everyone. They left now. And most of these people, the Janjaweed or the fashion there, they are Arabs. They are not the original people of Sudan. They're Arabs. The government is an Arabic leader. So the Janjaweeds leave that night and they come back in the morning and they kill off everything else. Thinking that the men may creep back into the village. So this man, he lies under this grass for 3 days. And his wife, she walks the village. She walks the village and to make sure all the Janjaweeds are gone. And what she would do is take him a little porridge. Just every day, just a little bit, just to kind of keep him alive. There's nothing there. And she was ready to deliver the baby. And so they say to her, where's your husband? She said, I don't know. I don't know where he's at. They said, we're going to kill you. She says, okay, just kill me. Come on, what does she have to lose? She had 8 children. She said, kill me. Just go ahead and kill me. They say, oh, we won't kill you. We just want to kill the men. And so for 3 days, she walked the villages to make sure that the janjaweed were gone. And then on the third day, he was able to crawl out from under all that hay. Now, come on. What did he do when he had to defecate? Well, eating that little bit of food, you don't have to defecate. Maybe weeks before you let out something. You understand? And so he finally comes out after about 3 days. And the first thing she says to him, she says, "You must go. You must leave." He got 8 children. His wife, she got a baby on the way. See, "You must leave." And so he heads out walking. Nothing. He walks for days. She leaves the village for a refugee camp. You understand? Can you imagine 25,000 people living on this plot of land here? They defecate here. Their lives are there. Little plastic. I know this perverted generation doesn't even think like that because it's one of greediness and it's so sadistic. Can you imagine that? So he walks for days and she leaves with the children. For 5-7 days she walked. Nothing to eat. To a refugee camp. And when you get there, it doesn't mean you're going to get something to eat when she gets there. And she was there for a while and somehow her husband was able to make his way back to her to reunite with his wife. She was very delighted to have him back. Now on the same opposite end here in America, the men that are coming back from Iraq, they're saying, "My life is different now. He's really not a part of it." That's what we're saying to Yahweh. Well, I don't like that. I don't like the way he came back. He's not coming back in here telling me what to do or telling the children. We're not going to have that. That's how we talk to Yahweh. He's not going to tell me when I'm wrong. He's not going to instruct me in those kinds of things. I will not allow Yahweh to do that. If we want to understand the power of separation, when Yahweh separates, the parad of Yahweh, we look at scripture. When he separated, when Israel came out of Egypt, he caused the east winds to blow on the Red Sea, and the sea was separated. Now that is what the separation is. There's a great breach between us and Almighty Yahweh because we will not let him deal with what's in us. We will not let him purge us and cleanse us of our iniquities and our iniquitous ways. We continue to falter because we love our iniquitous practices. We love to abandon the ways of Almighty Yahweh. We love our carnal and corrupt ways that produce nothing but death. What has separated you from the Hava of Yahweh? What's in your mind that caused you not to love him, or there is no pulsating, burning urgency to come before him, to bless him, to exalt him, to esteem him? What's in you that has caused that? It is your own iniquity. It is your sins that have hidden your face from him. What is your sin? Well, sin is a transgression of the Torah. When you willingly transgress the Torah of Yahweh. Sin. There's the wickedness there. There's the corruption there. There's the vileness there. That is not of Almighty Yahweh. It is not the spirit of Almighty Yahweh. We become very perturbed, don't we, at any kind of instruction. The men today can't even receive instruction from another. That's sad. Because that one is not a leader. A leader can always receive instruction because a leader always serves. The intent of a leader is to always serve. When a man cannot receive instruction or receive anything because he doesn't want anyone to tell him anything. He doesn't want anyone to instruct him because he is a shallow man. That's just it. Period. I say often to Brother Allen and things we're challenging something or tackling something. And of course, immediately my mind goes to the easiest resolutions. I don't think like him. I don't think in such a dynamics or a dimension that I look to get this and that to do a job like that. No, all we have to do is this. That's much easier to do it that way. Save your time, energy, money. How about that? Oh, that will work. Yeah, that works. Because we've been trained to think that way. We've been trained by this world. Yahweh gave us simplicity. This is a common man's salvation. Do you believe that? It is for a simple man. That's why the high polluted man cannot receive the things of Yahweh. You know, it's one thing about a marriage. The beauty of a marriage is a simple thing. If you allow to work on the simple principles of Almighty Yahweh, He tells you how it works. Wife, obey the husband. Husband, love your wife as how much you love the assembly. That's it. Husband, deal with your wife according to knowledge, knowing she is the weaker vessel. That's just it. He tells you how to do it. Wife, honor your husband. Submit, honor him. You don't want to do that. If he's our husband, man, we must honor our Abba. I don't want to be separated from him. My iniquity or my iniquity's ways, they are purged every time truth is going forth because it reveals unto me what's in me. And that is the sure sign of the mercies of Yahweh. He's renewing them then. He's renewing them then. And if he doesn't deal with me, if he doesn't deal with my nature and what is in me, then I'm separated from him. What's Yahweh writes, Ichabod, or that is the bastard, that is the castaway, his Ruah doesn't dwell there. Once he put Ichabod there, that's it. I don't care what someone says. I don't care what a preacher says. The hardness of your expression, your sons, your daughters, mama, daddy, you will see that. Once he put Ichabod there, the spirit, the Ruach of Yahweh is not there. He put Ichabod there. He said, Ichabod, the house, the spirit of Yahweh, it's not here. Once Ichabod is there, it's not there. And you know Ichabod came by some devious, corrupt act too, don't you? So the spirit of Yahweh is not there. Once your actions and your deeds become so corrupt and so evil with lasciviousness that because of your lawlessness, then the spirit of Ichabod dwells there. He is saying, I will not deal with that one. I will not convince them. I will not convict them. I'm not trying to change their heart. I'm not trying to deal with them. I put Ichabod there. Let them go. He means what he says. He's not like man that he should lie. And what he says, he means it. I want to say this before I close. It's an ignorant generation because we don't think that Yahweh means what he says. We think that it is interpreted by our own private interpretation. It is revealed by the Ruah. That's why Yahweh said, I will raise up men in this hour and they will have my love. And it's one thing, they will feed you some knowledge of your sins and they will give you understanding, knowledge, and they will give you truth. That's what they will give you. You don't perceive that of this man, I would flee. Brother Dale, you take your wife and your children, you flee, brother. If you don't insist that, Deacon Benny, run. Now, I'm not going anywhere, all right? I'm going to stay right here. You flee. You're a young man. Take them. Go. You got a wonderful job. Go. You're making the money. But Kevin, you and your wife, your daughter there, go. No one is stopping you from leaving now. You're not compelled to live here. You're on the market, you're old man. You'll be all right. Take your wife. Go. Come on, Brother Allen. Go. What are you going to do? Well, I'll be all right. I'm going to still preach the truth. I'm going to still deal with the sins of this generation and the corruption that has... You are separated from Yahweh. Now, there are times that Yahweh separates himself from you, and I don't want that. I will continue that on next week. I will show you how Yahweh, when he separates himself from you, on Wednesday night, I will continue this. When Yahweh separates himself from you, woe unto you. When Yahweh divides himself from you, woe unto you. But you have done something that is very egregious by separating yourself from Yahweh. You have removed yourself away from him because of your iniquity. You will not repent. You become more enamored. You become more hardened. You will not say, forgive me, Yahweh. What? Who will separate me from the love of HaMashiach? What will separate me from this precious love that Yahweh expressed unto me in this body of HaMashiach? My emotions, my feelings, my likes or my dislikes, my trials. You haven't gone through trials. You haven't gone through perilous times. You don't know what it is to be hungry. You don't know what it is to go without. This is a generation that serves the creature. They don't care about Yahweh. That's what they serve. That's why we have such a dysfunction of people. A mindset that is far removed from Almighty Yah. No thought of him. Who? What thing has separated you from the love of Yah? Tell me what has separated you from loving Yahweh. From blessing him. For it is a tremendous battle just to praise him. What? What? You can't love him. You don't know how to love a child, a wife, a husband. He said, love me with all. Herein is the love that you can rest in. Not that you love me, but that I first love you. How do you know he loves you? Because he sends his correction. He purges us. If a parent loves a child, we know everyone, every son that he receives, he chastens. He corrects and he scourges betime. And what do you receive? He don't receive you. He don't give a nickel what the dung's meat about you. You do your own thing because he doesn't care. That's it. Because you're none of his. But everyone that he receives, he corrects. And he will correct. They're bastards. They're not born of the Spirit of Yahweh. Ichabod is in that house. Ichabod. Correct them. Even in their tears, you correct them. For in that, don't spare the rod, you save their soul from hell. Now that is scripture. That's truth. Well, she's too cute, is she? Save her. Yah, we bless you, all you that are listening. We pray that Yah bless you. I want you all to hear this. Don't get up. I want to read this article right quick, just a few paragraphs. I want you all to hear this. Please hear this. Please. It says, listen. A 15-year-old girl and her parents, both of them, recently came in for a chat with Dr. James Pirin, a pediatrician, pediatric, because they were concerned about their girl's grades. You hear that? Listen now. Previously an A student, she has slipped to B's, and the family was convinced attention deficiency hypoactive disorder was at fault, and that a prescription for Ritalin, hear this, brothers and sisters, would boost her brain power. After examining the girl, Perrin determined that she did not have ADHD. The parents, who had come in demanding now prescription, left empty-handed. Perrin, a professor at pediatrics at Harvard. Now, these were not poor people. You don't go to Harvard Medical Center or Duke on welfare. They will not take you there. Now, they will bring you there to practice on you. But you do not get in Harvard or Duke Medical Center or North Carolina. You got to have some real good insurance, all right? So he's a pediatric at Harvard Medical School and a spokesman for the American Academy of Pediatrics. Listen, and other physicians say this is an increasingly common scenario in doctor's office around the country. Though there are not hard statistics on it. Parents want their kids to excel in school. And they have heard all about the illegal use of stimulants such as Ritalin and Adderall for academic doping. That's what they feed their children. It is almost like a cocaine type addiction. They feed them that for academic. That's what they do. That's what they say to the little kids of color. Parents put them on Adderall and Ritalin. And it improves their grades too. It really does. They drug them up. Academic doping, hoping to obtain the drug legally. Listen, now they pressure the pediatricians for them, for even request the drug after openly admitting they don't believe their child have AH. They know they don't have that deficiency, but they want the drug because what it does, what it produces. And that's what they've done. They put them all on drugs. They're on drugs, drugs in the food and everything. That's what they're doing. Brothers and sisters, don't think that we go out here and that the government is that concerned about you. The things that these corporations, because they love money. Does McDonald's love money? Would they rather drive all businesses out to sell burgers? So is the love of money the root of all evil? So would they do anything to make money? Do Bojangles want all the money? Sure they do. Would they do anything to make money? We say there's nothing beyond what they will not do. To poison you, to put things in there, to poison you. That's what they do, brothers and sisters. That's why our bodies don't function the way they do. I'm telling you. We're so full of poison, I'm telling you. Our bodies are full of poison. We don't think. You can't think right. You don't think right. I'm telling you, Yahweh never intended for that. I'm telling you. You don't have to believe me. You can get upset with me. But that's the truth. That's why our minds are poison. We're so full of toxins, we can't even detoxify our bodies. That's why some of you all don't even have the energy to get up and do nothing. You don't have the energy for that. You got talk, but you don't have the energy. I tell you this because I love you. I know the capability of this world. I know the diseases. I was listening the other morning on PBS. It was about 5. There's a drug that they call Xenodyne. It is for type B. What is that? No, it's for diabetes, type B or diabetes. And they were talking to this man that his son said he's going to buy him a brand new wardrobe when he lose weight, because the drug, it is one of the most tremendous drugs on the market to reduce weight. People just, they lose an average of 20% of their weight. It takes them down. And the doctor said, there's one good side effect of the drug. You're going to lose weight once you take it. Well, I don't want nothing like that in me. When Yahweh tells me what to do to control every facet of my life, that's what he tells us. Parents want their kids to excel in school. They want these drugs. I spoke with some colleagues the other day, and they mentioned three cases recently where parents blatantly asked for the medication so their children will perform better in school. Yet there were no other indication that the child had ADHD, said Dr. Nick Yates, a pediatrician and a director of the Medical Ethics at Mercy Hospital in Buffalo, New York. I'm very concerned that there is a fair amount, and we don't know how much of ADHD drugs being prescribed used for off-level purposes. Academic doping used these stimulants, prescriptions, and an effect to enhance focus, concentration, mental stamina, first start at the college campuses, especially now, listen to your hear me, especially Ivy Leagues and exclusive competitive schools. Now the problem is flirting down to secondary school, Yates said, and more parents are paying a role in obtaining drugs and medication for their students. Now, even in the Ivy League schools, do you all understand that? In the high, powerful schools of America, these drugs are using because it causes attention, memory. Brothers and sisters, you know what? Can I tell you what will cause you to have the greatest attention and all of that? If we just ain't right, we put the right things in our body. That's what. So what they're doing something in a superficial way, a stimulant. And if we eat right, then our faculties, they will work. I don't know where one brother, Abraham and all of them, at 90 years old, he wasn't crazy. I know where one of them lost their mind because they did right. Yahweh gives us a dietary law. We did it that way. I was telling the brothers, Brother Patrick and Brother Dale, yesterday we were out. I was saying when I was there in Kenya, how they would take this blood of bulls and goats. And Pastor Kiamani offered me and said, no, sir, because you're not supposed to drink the blood or take the blood of any animal. They'll eat meat that die within itself. The scripture tells you don't eat an animal. If it dies of itself, don't eat it. That's all right. If a car goes out and hit it, boom, you can eat it. But if a cow out there in the field drops, you don't eat it. You don't know what. No, you don't eat it. If it's down there, the cow's sick, just kill it. But you don't eat that. What they would take this blood and they would put milk in that. And they would put it in this gourd. And they would just, they had this little Swiss. And they would, my brother, this is over. I said, no, sir. I'm not going to drink that. No. And they would drink this. And you wonder why the diseases and the sickness, because you can't. You must. And Shaitan has deceived us and destroyed us. Our bodies are so poisoned, brothers and sisters, that we can't even think right. That's just the truth. We don't function right. Yahweh made us to be vibrant and strong. Yeah, he did. Ain't nothing like a body. The most powerful machines in the world, the most powerful computers, cannot compute like the mind. No, it can't. Big Blue, that machine, when it played Kaspar in chess, will make 4 billion analytical moves every second. Come on, brothers and sisters. 4 billion. And the only way, now, Big Blue will never play Kaspar again. Now, he's retired. But the only way Big Blue beat him, and it beat him in gamut, a blitz. That's less than a half an hour game. But a true chess game will go about 7 hours, because you got the first hour, you got to make, what, 5-8 moves the first hour. And then it goes down to another hour. It takes about six hours for someone like Kasparov, if he's going to play a Karpov. Someone like Spassky. It takes that long. Or he plays someone like Ashley. It takes that long for one chess game. That's how long. And yet, when they played a normal game, it with all that technology and all this brain power, it could never beat that man. Never. Draw. After 15 moves, it was a draw. Because they knew it couldn't handle that. What a magnificent thing. Nothing but coagulation of blood. That's all it is. Blood and cholesterol. That's all it is. Yet it couldn't beat him. Couldn't beat him. So Yahweh has made this thing magnificent. Man is magnificent in all of his. He's made him magnificently perfect. He has. And the enemy has destroyed that. He has, brothers and sisters. We have no wonderful health. Health, riches, and wealth. Riches and health come from Yahweh. He tells us how to maintain it, what to do. He does, brothers and sisters. If we did what he told us, we'll enjoy the fullness of Yah's life. We don't enjoy because we have gone wrong. And it's kind of hard to reheal this whole thing, isn't it? But you still can reconstitute it. And we just go back. Go back to the ways of ancient. Come on, Brother Patrick. We go back to the ways of ancient. We can reconstitute this life. We can. We can. Nothing like the mind of man. It is excellent. It's magnificent. It is a very powerful thing. I think I was saying to Brother Allen yesterday, it's nothing. Can I say this? I used to play chess a lot because I love chess. When I say that, it was not something I had to. I would play for hours, I'm just honest. I would play chess. I would sit down chess at 9 in the morning, at night, and it'd be 3 in the morning. I said, whoa! Just playing chess because I like playing chess. It's a game, or it's a thing that thinking you, it makes you think of more than one scenario. The angles, oh, they're basic moves, but they have thousands of variations. They're basic openings. English, Rudy Lopez, they're all basic openings. Opening, Queen Gambit, King Gambit. But there are thousands of ways. Tens of thousands. I mean, they're literally tens of thousands. Tens of thousands. Tens of thousands. Tens. And it caused the mind to be stretched beyond its ability to really, it's a very analytical thing. And I was sad to Brother Allen, sad because the young men of color, I watch young men play, I mean, from Russia and China, 17. I mean, they're GMs and masters. Very intelligent young men. But the young men of color, what the enemy has reduced them down to is a piece of flesh. It's almost like dog meat. The young women, that's what he reduced them down to. And it's sad. Nothing that is intellectual, nothing that stimulates their mind, just hanging some pants off their dirty butts, looking like a fool, skull cap on with a hat on. That's what it's reduced them down to. It's bad. They can't think. They don't know how to function. They look dumb. That's why you have 11 boys go kick a man down, kill him. Their lives are just empty. There ain't nothing for them to do, whether you believe it or not. They're empty. They're just empty. The ones in college, the young boys are having taking pleasure with the young girls because there are so many girls there. Most colleges today, you got more women than you got men. You may go to a university that may be, just for an example, large schools may have 70,000 students. School like University of Texas, they may have 100,000 students. You may have 70,000 women in school, 30,000 men. I was reading an article at one university, the man said, man, we love it this way. It's 5 girls to every 1 boy, and we're just taking advantage of it. We don't want nothing. We like it this way. And so we reduce them down to a piece of flesh, a piece of whoredom. That's all it does. That's what it's doing. That's just the truth. Reduce them down to a piece of whoredom, piece of meat, sex. Whether you all believe that or not, the schools are that way. They're that way. The young girls, they're even having activities in the school. They're performing things in the gym. Just with people openly watching them. You'd be surprised at things that this world is doing. Everyone is not perverted. Everyone is not doing what the other ones are doing. Hallelujah. Keep your mind on him. He will keep you. And believe me, you trust him. He'll give you a virtuous wife that loves him and cares about him. Not a bed partner. Not some sexual activity. He'll give you a wife. When a man finds a wife, he finds a tough thing. And Yahweh can only bless you with a wife. You understand? No man, only you can't even bless yourself with that. And he finds favor with Yah. That's all right. Hallelujah. That's the truth. He finds favor. Yah gives a man favor. It ain't nothing to get somebody to get in bed with. Men marrying them, when they get married, they hate they got married. If they got so many divorces, what did I do? That's the truth. They hate it. Yah bless you. Let us stand to our feet. You all might as well love me. You can hate me. That's all right. You might as well love me. Say, bless him, Yah. Boy, come on, say, bless him, Yah. You got to listen. We bless you all today. We pray that, Yah, we bless you all. and that your home has been strengthened by the words of Ibonah. Come on and sing with us as we prepare to rest this Shabbat. Hallelujah.
So let there be love shed among us. Let there be a love in our lives. Lay now your love, sweetest sound. Calls us Yahweh to arise. Give us a fresh understanding.
Grab your neighbor's hand.
So let there be love shared among us. Let there be a love in our lives. Lay down your love, sweetest sound. Calls us Yahweh.
Bless you all, Brother James, Brother James here in New York, all you that are listening. You that are listening in Detroit, we bless you all. Wherever you're listening, Brother Nathan, bless you all.
Let there be love shared among us. Let there be a love.
Come on, look at your neighbor.
So let there be love. Shed among us, let there be a love in our lives. Lay down your love, sweetest sound. Cause us Yahweh to arise. Give us a fresh understanding.
Time, come on.
So let there be us love shared among us.
We pray, Yahweh, we bless you all today. Don't separate from Him. Keep your mind, your heart in love with you. Yahweh will bless you. Bless you all. Shabbat Shalom.
Calls us Yahweh to arise. Give us a fresh understanding of brotherly love that is real. So let there be a harvest shared among us. Let there be a love.
For thy name is excellent. We bless you, our Abba. We do praise you for all things. We thank you for your mercies and your kindness, for your tenderness. We pray that you will strengthen and go before your people. Through Yisrael, Yah, watch over them, guide them, and keep them to delight in you, Yah. All your people, I need your strength, Yah. Bless us all. We ask all things in your sure mighty name. These people cried hallelujah, hallelujah.